702. Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane. Email her
on refilwem@702.co.za.
And of course, the lines are wide open, 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApps and voice notes can be sent to 072-702-1702. And please SMS us on 31702. Why? Well, you might have questions for Kosi, and perhaps she can help you navigate through your concerns or that you have around you about yourself or about a family member. So this is what we're talking about: breaks or vacations, the role that that these play in maintaining a healthy state of mind. Good morning, Kosi.
Yeah, good morning. It is. How are you?
I am well. I am well, energized, happy, looking forward to being out and about after the show and enjoying some sunlight. That's all we can ask for, right? Trust you well?
In a feel-good space. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm also taking time out. I'm actually in Durban and, feet up, literally.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
There's something magical, and most people do not agree, but there's definitely something magical about the combination of the smell of the sea and that humidity. It revitalizes me. I think it's amazing.
Absolutely. You can just do nothing. Nothing and just be. And that's what we're talking about. You know, that we owe ourselves that love and self-care.
Yeah. And from a psychological perspective, Kosi, the importance of, I almost said letting your hair down. Then I realized I've never let my hair down because it doesn't work that way. But you know the phrase. The importance of letting your hair down and relaxing, taking a break. Just talk to us about that, especially in this hyper-connected world that we all live in, right? It's not like 40 years ago or 60 years ago.
Yeah. So you know, as you say, we live in a very fast-paced, demanding world of change and so many demands being made on us from a work point of view. I think it wasn't so long ago we had a discussion about just stress and coping with work stress and people saying, you know, they're ending up having to do, you know, two jobs to just make ends meet.
Yes.
The you know, taking care of family, taking care of everybody. And, you know, we end up being like a lighthouse shining out into the distance and yet remain dark within ourselves. You know, we become the forgotten landlords.
So how do, for those who are accustomed to constantly being on, I know that my first struggle, my primary struggle, and I'm sure many people can relate to this, is the busy mind that even, and then I'm not even talking taking a break, I'm just talking time to sleep, right? The busy mind does this to you. You know you're tired, you climb into bed, and then you start plotting and planning for the next day, what you're going to do first, how long it's going to take you, what you're going to do thereafter, how long that's going to take you. Have you double booked yourself? What do you need to cancel? And on it goes until it's 1 a.m. and now you're really tired, but now you're stressed because you're tired and you're stressed because you haven't slept. And it's a self-fulfilling, horrible circle. How do we, first of all, learn to just switch off and relax before we've even gone as far as booking a flight and going to Durban or even just cancelling plans for the weekend?
I think it's important that we get perspective on our lives. So there are things to be done that need to be done, that need to be taken care of. And if we don't take care of those things, then we can't relax. But it's important to have boundaries around what is urgent, what is important, what can wait, and where do I fit in, me, as a person, in all that needs to be done. You know, so we've got to be clear. So in other words, it's important to think about those things, like how your day is going to pan out tomorrow and so on, but to also have a boundary in terms of not going into analysis paralysis to the point where you're now not able to sleep and it's just going to erode your effectiveness the following day in doing those things that you need to do in any case.
Sure.
So it doesn't add value to your quality of whatever you need to do, so because you're not present. So as you say, you're in that treadmill, that mental treadmill. And so you try to sleep, but you wake up feeling even more tired.
Absolutely. You know, I'm wondering how often in your practice you find you find clients or patients who are stuck in that loop of hyper alertness or hyper responsiveness and can't do exactly what you're recommending. Because once you're there, to be able to actually prioritize and say, no, in fact, this deadline can wait a week. This isn't urgent. So I don't need to go and pick up, toilet. I don't need to go and pick up toilet paper for the house. We've got enough for 2 days.
Yes.
When you're in that, when you're in that phase, you do find it hard to prioritize and escalate what's important and de-escalate what's not.
Yeah, I think, the nub of that issue is also about our relationship with ourselves, not so much about those things. So in other words, how have you defined yourself as a person?
Okay.
And what do you, attribute your sense of value to? So a lot of us, especially mothers, our definition of ourselves and how we then come to own and be with ourselves is through our responsibility too.
Sure.
And we are not on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we are, we are like number 10 at some point, so we see ourselves as a doing thing for others and so on. So what is important is to come back and to say, who am I in the absence of all this? Who can I be? Who do I need to be to myself beyond what the things that I need to do? So to redefine the self and that I am still good enough. It is still good enough. It is loving enough for me to look after me so that I can then be able to look after others from a fullness rather than being emptied.
Yeah.
And because, you end up being depleted.
And
being effective in those roles anyway.
Yeah. And the conversation around the importance of taking it easy or taking a break is not one that, it's not one that's premised on going away somewhere and going to a specific place, but it could be as simple as making sure that you need to take some time away from the computer screen, right?
Indeed.
Every hour.
Switch off the phone. Switch off the phone. Go off social media. Detox. Yeah. Techno detox. Don't switch the TV on. And this is the thing. People compulsively, without even thinking, the moment we open our eyes, we're reaching out. Where's my phone? Where's the remote?
Sure.
Switch on and hear what's going on out in the world. But have you heard what's going on inside your own world? So to slow down. It literally means to just slow down. And there's no other way of slowing down except to slow down. The world will not fall apart.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, when we make that discovery that nothing stops because you're not there.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Must be a welcome relief or maybe scary for some.
So it's that, Goliath kind of mentality that everything revolves around me. And it's also, there's a sense of disempowering others when we become that. Because if you're going to be everything to everyone, when do they become those things that they need to be?
So true. So very true. Now, Khosi, in terms of what taking a break looks like, it can be very different for lots of people. Some people just cannot keep still. What does it mean in that instance? Is it a matter of focusing elsewhere and doing something different?
It is a matter of being still enough. And that means, first of all, to be physically still. Allow yourself to sit. And this is a practice you need to develop, because you will not get it right first time.
Sure.
And so you need, it's kind of a mental hygiene, if we call it that, to learn to be still.
How often?
And to then develop. So, for example, you can start off by saying, I want to just, for 5 minutes, just be still. And then you can increase that and keep increasing that. But it must be a concerted, effort that you need to invest in cultivating that capacity.
Yeah. And when you talk about being still, we know a few phrases that have become or have been very popular over the years, whether it's stillness, whether it's meditation, especially mindfulness. When you talk about being still, what do you mean? What is happening on the interior that people need to aim for, or what isn't happening on the interior that people should be aware of?
Yeah, so, and perhaps it's different for different people, but one of the things that people talk about struggling with, so for example, if we say about meditating, people will say, when I sit down and, I have these thoughts in my head, so, and they're saying, I can't silence my mind, right? And they're trying to silence their mind, which means they're not meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're focusing on silencing their mind.
Yeah.
So the way that I describe it and the way that it has helped me over the years is about the fact that, and I usually use the analogy that as you're sitting wherever you're sitting, do you realize that there's a car that's driving past on a street, the next street or something? But it's there, but you're not focusing on it.
Yeah.
So let it be. So it's about detaching yourself from it. Not that it will necessarily be empty and there's nothing going on in your mind, but the less, it's about not connecting with that rather than trying to silence it as such.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's kind of a tricky thing to explain, but yeah, that's kind of the closest analogy to it.
And we do it all the time, actually. It's not some miraculous, way of being in the world. It's a simple matter of you've been at work, you've been in a classroom, and you've sat, put your head down, and focused on the exercise before you, right? To the preclusion of everything else. Not that everything else disappeared, but you just decided to do this for now.
Exactly. You were not with it.
Yeah. That's such an interesting take on it. Okay, makes absolute sense.
Being present here as opposed to there.
Yeah. What happens when you don't take a break, Khosi? And I mean, beyond issues of productivity, right? We know that when you do take a break, you do, as you say, if you're vigilant about that mental hygiene, then yes, you can be more productive. Yes, you can be more clear-headed. But, in the long run, for highly stressed or highly anxious individuals, what does happen when you don't take a break, whatever that break looks like for you and your socioeconomic or personal cases?
Yeah. So we experience internal erosion. And what I mean by that is, we are working, we're operating from our stress hormones to just get by, because we are living on this treadmill. So we are living off our cortisol, our adrenaline, and our epinephrine, these fancy words, which is not healthy. So the body has that as our defense mechanism to help us momentarily. We are not meant to live off those hormones, and so when we do, we deplete that. We become, you will feel literally being depleted internally.
Yeah,
and.
No, carry on, sorry.
Yeah, and the quality of everything. So when we take time off, we are able to replenish our feel-good hormones. And that could be anything like as simple as taking a walk or even just doing nothing. Sit up and do nothing. Mm. Our dopamine, our serotonin, our endorphins, our feel-good, we replenish that. Mm. And our overall quality of life improves incredibly.
You said something so important about 2 weeks ago when we were talking about just your healthiness and making sure that you're not depressed versus making sure that you don't have underlying issues, and making sure as a woman specifically that it's not hormonal.
We're talking about midlife
crises, so it's so key. It's so interesting when you talk about dopamine and serotonin levels being important in this, in this sort of wellness equation.
Yes.
And quite often we're not looking at all those other things that can then shore us up and support us in our quest for feeling as vital and being as vital as possible, right?
Absolutely.
And that stuck with me quite a bit. And I think it's so key to keep that in mind when we have discussions like this as well, Khosi. But Here's a question, and I don't have a name, but someone's asking us here, how important is meditation in the attempt, in the attempt of self-discovery, or in the pursuit, I guess, of self-discovery?
It is very important. You know, through meditation, as we were saying, we are able to slow ourselves down. We are able to be more present with ourselves. We are able to allow energies and thoughts, processes, and consciousness, and elevate our state of consciousness. And that's what self-discovery is about. And we are able to think much better and be more discerning in how we live our lives. So it is absolutely important.
And maybe you, this is something, a distinction that you find you often have to help people make, which is self-discovery, that inner work of knowing or understanding yourself, right? Your blind spots, your anxieties, where they stem from, how they influence your current behavior versus, you know, self-actualization, you know, in an outward way, like finally landing that dream job or becoming the actuary that you always wanted to be. We're often mixing up those two things, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And they are not necessarily mutually exclusive either.
Okay.
You know, in the sense that with self-discovery, you are more likely to self-actualize in that sense, on the outer, because as within, so without.
Sure.
You know, it's part of that journey. But you don't, if you go without, you go without. In other words, you then are not able to discover and be the best of you. And in self-discovery, we're not talking about being perfect.
Sure.
So it is not that place of perfection. It is that place where we make peace with ourselves. We discover what matters, what really matters. We become more discerning. And we are at peace with ourselves as opposed to being at war with ourselves. So to understand that I am perfectly imperfect, I have my blind spots or I have my weaknesses, and I make peace with that. I strive to live out of my strengths, but I make peace with the fact that I do have my weaknesses and my areas of development, and that is a continuous journey. And it's part of that self-discovery, in fact.
Sure. Do you imagine, Kosi, that there will ever be a time where we incorporate things like, you know, this kind of conversation into life experience or life orientation at schools? Because quite often it takes a tragedy, or it takes burnout, or it takes exhaustion and, you know, unpleasant events to finally get us to this point where we realize that it's not necessarily worthwhile to drive yourself to this point of exhaustion. It's not worthwhile to prioritize, you know, work over your own health, or worthwhile to, you know, to not go do the interior work, as it were. How useful do you think it would be to have these conversations at a younger age? Because we come to them quite late.
Absolutely. No, it is so tragic that actually, if you think of how we live our lives, you know, it's very much a self-alienation process, because we are taught from the beginning of our schooling life, for example, we are as doing things. We are learning to do things as opposed to learning about ourselves. And so we have to learn how to count, we have to learn how to do this, how to write names, how to pictures and so on, and colors, and know these, that, and the other. And yet we, in the process, get alienated from ourselves. And as you say, many of us, it takes tragedy. And you know, and some people will say that, you know, those tragedies are very often life calling us to attention.
That it
has to take that drastic an experience for us to slow down.
And I think
to be present, it's not our default way of being, because we are just so accustomed to being on, get up and be on the treadmill of doing, as opposed to being.
And I think in many ways we look at those tragedies, and if you're able to work with them and find some resolution through them, then we look at them as, I guess, a blessing, as some people might say. But it strikes me that sometimes we're not resilient in the same way. We're not all alike in terms of how much resilience and grit and tenacity we have. So within that, I think of, you know, the lost potential that can occur to too many people, or even just the wearing down and the grinding down of so many people.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, indeed. It's sad that it has to take that for us to be present and to give attention to ourselves and inner attention to ourselves. And as you were saying, you know, it's unfortunate that those are things that we don't learn at school. Yeah. And that's where, you know, that's a whole lot of the social conditioning and scripting takes place. When I was working with NGO, you know, we started in schools, mm-hmm. the process of these visualization and sitting and calming the kids down before they do anything major, to just sit down for a moment and just be present and just be still and just visualize and guided visualization about their lives, as opposed to just getting there to just do things and get away and go back home, sort of thing.
And what effect did that have on the children that you were working with?
Well, it slows them down. It teaches them to be reflective about what they do, who mm-hmm. they are, what they wish to become, and therefore be conscious. Because you find a lot of the kids go to school because they are expected to go to school. Mm-hmm. They have not developed their own reason for why they are doing it. They are doing it because that's what they've been told they have to do.
Yeah.
Parents have woken them up and dressed them up and shoved them off to school, but they've not developed their own reason. And that is why school becomes a problem. And they think the solution is the life ahead of them. And they don't see where they are as the solution to the problems that are in the life that ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, in you know, changing that equation or that formula of understanding.
Absolutely.
And they live more consciously, you know, earlier on rather than later.
Well, we've got quite a long message here saying, "Hi, Rafilo, it seems that taking it easy has become more and more difficult to achieve. It's that elusive thing we all crave but can't quite achieve. More than ever, we find ourselves unable to switch off. We're restless, we're distracted, and forget the basics, that even the importance of breathing calmly, like you're talking about, Kosi, in order to properly oxygenate our minds. We don't drink enough water to keep ourselves hydrated. And we don't eat mindfully enough to nourish our bodies." And she says, before you can take it easy, you have to have incredible self-discipline. You master time management. You know your self-worth. You practice self-love and believe you are worthy and entitled to time out. Find activities that rejuvenate your spirit. Lovely.
Beautiful message. Yeah. And the whole thing about time management, we never manage time. It's about managing ourselves in time. Time marches on.
Sure. You just make sure you allocate to yourself as much as you need. Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for that lovely conversation, Kosi. Enjoy Durban. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the humidity. Enjoy the sea breeze, the smell of the ocean.
I longed for it throughout this lockdown. And when the opportunity came, it was like, now I have to take this
break. You took it. I love it.
All else can wait. Thank you.
Stay safe until we get next. That's clinical psychologist Kosi Giane.